Turn with me now, if you would, to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. It's been a while since we've been in Colossians. The word here is instructing us on what our relationships ought to be in light of Christ and in light of what he's done for us. We've already looked at verses 18 to 21, but they say, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord." Speaking to wives. And then in verse 19, it speaks to husbands, saying, "Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them." And then verse 20, speaking to children, says, "Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord." Verse 21, speaking to parents, fathers, "Provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged." Now we're going to pick up today with verse 22, and let's read down to chapter 4, verse 1. Colossians 3:22 says, "Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord shall you receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that you also have a master in heaven." Now that's good instruction that we need to hear. We desperately need to hear that. I'm going to expound on that for a minute. But let me say this first. This is a Bible study. That's what this is. We have designated a service called a Bible study, Bible class. Most people call it Sunday school. This is a time for learning what the Scripture has to say to us in light of Christ. It's always in light of Christ. But the Scripture has much to say to us. In just a moment, we're going to have a worship service. We call it the morning message. It's a time for declaring Christ. And with that being said, I want to declare Christ in this Bible study this morning. I want to declare Christ. We really don't ever instruct without declaring Christ. We shouldn't ever instruct without declaring Christ. And really, we don't ever declare Christ without instructing. They go hand in hand, but it leans more heavily in each direction at each one of those times. So let me instruct for just a second here, and then I'd like to lean heavily on declaring Christ. Okay? Verse 22, it says, "Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God." Mankind by nature, and I'm talking about all men and women naturally, I'm talking about me, I'm talking about you, I'm talking about all of us. Mankind does not naturally want anyone to reign over him. We don't like that. We don't like others reigning over us. The flesh of man wants to be under no one's thumb. Nobody. Because that's the case, men and women naturally develop resentment against their bosses and against their places of employment. It happens all the time. You know what I'm talking about. Rarely will you talk to somebody about their job and they just give glowing remarks. They will for a minute. They're so fed up with this one place, they finally leave it and they go somewhere else, and this place is incredible. For a minute, until you settle into that, and then it's the same old thing. Everybody's always mistreated. It's always unfair. It's always utter misery. Can't wait to get out. That really shouldn't be. I'm talking to myself here. I'm talking to all of us here. That really shouldn't be. God has given us a job. God gave us the job. In His kindness, in His goodness, He has provided us a way of earning a living. We forget about the goodness of God in these things. Our flesh has a way of ruining everything. And He has provided us a way to take care of us, provide for us, put a roof over our head, put clothes on our back, put food in our bellies. God is the one who's done all of this for us. He's given us a sound mind to do it. He's given us an able body. He's given us strength to do it. Every component of it is a gift and a kindness from Him. And when we complain about it, and let me just speak frankly with you. I want to learn something about this, because we complain about everything. We're talking about jobs now, but we complain about everything. When we complain about it, our complaint is not against our boss. It's not against our place of employment. Our complaint is against our God, who put us under that boss in that place of employment. Everything concerning us is of God. He is the origination of all things. And that's why verse 22 right here says, "Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God." He said, do this recognizing God put me here. God gave me this job. His hand is sovereignly on me, controlling everything that pertains to me. God controls everything that pertains to us. Everything. If He wants me to be in a different position, He'll put me there. I remember whenever I was feeling this desire to preach, and I didn't know if the Lord was going to call me, and I had all these questions and all these inner feelings. I went one time and I talked to a very dear, wise old pastor. And I was asking him questions and kind of hem-hawing around. And he read between the lines and he stopped me. He said, "I tell you what." He said, "Do this." He said, "You be content where God has you today." He said, "If God wants you to be somewhere else tomorrow, He will put you there tomorrow." I said, "Okay." That's all I needed to hear. God sovereignly controls everything concerning us. If He wants me to be in a different position, He'll put me there. If He wants me to get a raise, He'll give it to me. If He wants me to be in a better work environment, He'll create one for me. The best thing that any child of God could do in any condition or position at any time is happily wait on the Lord. This is the advice of Scripture. Wait on the Lord. Just happily wait on the Lord. In all things, look to the Lord. Trust the Lord in it. Recognize, acknowledge the Lord in it. Verse 23, it says, "Whatsoever you do, do it heartily," from the heart, "as to the Lord and not unto men." Your boss may be the most sour, wretched individual this world has ever known. He or she may squash all desire in you to produce any good work for him or her. I used to work in a place, and it had a sign on the wall in the break room, and it was a joke. but it said the beatings will continue until morale improves. That's a joke there. Maybe it was a joke there. I don't know. I'm not there anymore. But here's the point. Your boss may be the most sour. They just may squash everything in you that wants to work hard for him or her. Just remember this. You're not working for him or her. Your work is not unto him or her. It's unto the Lord. Really. It's on everything we do. He said, whatever you do, do it heartily. Unto the Lord and not unto men. The Lord has me here. The Lord gave me this job. This is unto the Lord. That's why he said in verse 22, don't do what you do with eye service as men pleasers. That means don't work hard while the boss is looking, and then as soon as the boss leaves, go lay down on the job. The Lord is watching at all times. We're doing it unto him in singleness of heart, heartily as to the Lord, and not unto men. Understanding that will give us a brand new outlook on our jobs. It really will. When Hannah was a kid, her family did some volunteer work with the Special Olympics. And there was a special man, a simple man, who came up to them one time and he said, hey, guess what? And they said, what? He said, I get to go to work tomorrow. And they said, really? That's great. He said, yeah. And guess what? They said, what? He said, they're going to pay me too. He said, this is my good news. I get to go to work tomorrow. God has given me a mind. He's given me strength. I'm not laying in a bed. I'm not in the gutter somewhere with nothing. I get to go to work tomorrow. And if that wasn't enough to top it all off, they're going to pay me too. Double whammy. Oh, to have a heart like that. Really, oh, to have a heart like that. That would be a blessing to us. That'd cause us to be a blessing to others. Our Lord loves a heart like that. He rewards a heart like that. Look at verse 23. It says, whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord shall you receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done. And there is no respect of persons. Murmuring against, complaining against, sinning against. All that has ever gotten God's people is chastening from him. That's all that's ever gotten us. Even God's people, there's no respect of persons. And then chapter 4, verse 1, he said, masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. If you're the boss of a company, or you're in a in charge position, and you have employees under them, be generous to them. Be kind to them. Don't be an unfair, hard taskmaster. God delivers his people from men and women like that. As the Lord has been to you, be that way to those who are under you. And that's just the good and right way to be. All right? That's the good and right way to be. Now, that's good instruction. Good life instruction. With that, let me tell you this. This is needful information right here. Being a good employee never saved anybody. Being a good employer never saved anybody. So many people believe that kind of good conduct out in the world, out in our dealings in the world, in the workplace, dealing with people. So many people believe that has merit with God for our salvation, being good. It doesn't. It doesn't. Men and women, see the instruction of the Word. We just had instruction from the Word. And men and women, all the time, see the instruction of the Word, which is good instruction. If we would follow this and if we would apply this, it would go well with us. It would. But too often, men and women wrongly and so unfortunately, they see the good instruction of this Word as being salvation. And it is not. Men and women wrongly see the deeds of the law, the good deeds of the law, as being salvation. And it is not. Christ is our salvation. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, that's our salvation. The verses we just read plainly, clearly tell us that. All right, the verses that we just read, the verses we just looked at, they just beautifully declare that to us. Jesus Christ and Him crucified is right here in this portion of Scripture. I've told you so many times, but I'll tell it to you again, because that's what I do. The story's told of that young man who was called on to fill the pulpit while the pastor was away, and he did, and after the service was over, he came down from the pulpit and he went up to one of the elders in the church and he asked him, "What'd you think of my message?" And the elder looked at him and said, "It was a very poor message." He was shocked. He said, "Poor? Why'd you think it was poor?" He said, "Did you think I didn't study enough?" He said, "No, clearly you studied." He said, "Well, did you think that my delivery wasn't clear?" He said, "No, your delivery was very clear." He said, "Then why do you say it was poor?" He said, "It was poor because Christ wasn't in it." And I'm going to tell you this, if all I told you this morning was the first half of this, this would be poor. Good instruction. That elder told that young man it was poor because Christ wasn't in it. And the young man said, "Well, Christ wasn't in the text." And he said, "Young man, in every portion of Scripture, there is a road that leads to Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Our business is to find that road and get on it." So let's do that. All right? Let's do that. Verse 22, look at this with me. This is the glory of the gospel. Verse 22, it says, "Servants, obey in all things your masters, according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God." In the flesh, obey every single thing your master has told you to do. Hold your place right here and turn with me over to Isaiah 42. Isaiah 42, the heading at the top of my page says, "The Office of Christ." This is speaking of Christ. This is God the Father speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. And He said in verse 1, Isaiah 42, verse 1, the Father said, "Behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles." Behold my servant. The good news of the gospel. When we talk about the gospel, if we want to know what the gospel is, if the gospel means good news. And if we want to know what the good news, it is in the fact that Christ willingly became the servant of God for His people in the stead of His people, in the place of His people. It's called substitution. If you want to get to the heart of the gospel, It's substitution, a changing of places. Christ took the place of his people. We were all servants. I'm looking at a bunch of servants. We were all servants, but here's the thing. We all ended up being unprofitable servants. Everything this tells us to do, I don't do it. I don't. It would go well with me if I did, but I don't. I do not live up to this. I'm unprofitable in this regard. All of us fell into sin. That's what happened. All of us fell into sin. And because of that, we could not fulfill the demands of our master. He gave us his law. You do this, you'll live. Couldn't do it. Didn't do it, wouldn't do it. We all sinned and came up short. Isn't that what the scripture says? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Isn't that what it says? All of our righteousnesses are filthy rags before him. Isn't that what it says? We all failed our master. Here's the problem we're in. We all failed the master. So the master said, behold, I'm going to send a servant to accomplish the work that they couldn't do. And he is not going to fail. What we could not do, the commands of the law that we could not accomplish because we were weak in our sinful flesh, God sent Christ to do. Verse 1 says, behold my servant whom I uphold, mine elect. The Father said, I choose him. All of God's people are chosen in him. They're chosen in him. God the Father put his particular people in the Son. And then he said, I choose the Son. And we're all chosen in him. He said, behold, my servant whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. He said, I am well pleased. The Father is well pleased with one man. How can the Father be pleased with me? Look at me. How can the Father be pleased with me? Only in Christ. Only if he looks at me in Christ. When he looks at me, he sees Christ. He sees who Christ is, what Christ did. And he says, I'm well pleased in him. Verse 1, behold my servant whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I've put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. That's us. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth is one of my favorite lines in the scripture. Verse 4 says, he shall not fail. Is salvation done or not? Is it done or is it not? Is it almost done and I now need to do something to finish it? Or is it finished? Which one is it? According to God the Father, he shall not fail nor be discouraged till he have set judgment in the earth and the isles shall wait for his law. The Father said he will do it heartily with his whole heart unto me. With a willing heart, he will delight to do my will and he will finish the work that I've demanded. Look back at our text, Colossians 3, verse 22. I'll be quick here. Colossians 3, 22 says, servants, obey in all things your master according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, Father, in the volume of the book, it is written of me, I delight to do thy will. All my focus, all my attention is on you. I gladly take on this form of a servant made in the likeness of men, I willingly humble myself and willingly become obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. What did it take for God's holy, spotless servant to become obedient unto death? What did it take? He had to become the substitute of the sinful, wretched souls who were worthy of death. That's what he had to do. That's what the servant accomplished alone before the open eyes of God Almighty. He bore the place and the punishment of his people. Verse 25, it says, but he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. That was us. We were the ones in the wrong. We were the ones who sinned against God. We were the ones who were owed the punishment for our sin. But when Christ was made to be our substitute, because he bore our sin, because he made it to be his very own, he was the one who suffered the punishment for it. Even though our sin was laid on the very Son of God himself. And just think about this. This is the glory and the beauty of God's holiness and his justice. Even though our sin was laid on the very Son of God himself, there was no respect of persons. There was no respect of persons. The one who bore the sin bore the punishment for the sin. He cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? It's because that's what it took for the servant to accomplish the work. And he accomplished it. The Father said, behold my servant, he's not going to fail. And Christ his servant cried, Father, I didn't. I finished the work you gave me to do. Verse 24 says, know this, of the Lord shall you receive the reward of the inheritance. Know this, salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is not a cooperation between me and the Lord. Me and the Lord don't have a good thing going. We don't. I'm dead in my trespasses and sins, if left to myself. And salvation is of the Lord. Salvation's of the Lord. It's not in you doing anything or me doing anything or accepting what he has done. He did it and it's done. Salvation's of the Lord. And all of God's people will cry, amen. They'll say, we know this. It's been revealed to us by his Spirit. We're not trying to redo the work that he has already done. Salvation is of the Lord. And because salvation was accomplished by the Lord, and because God's servant did finish the work for God's people, because of that, this is, I love this. Chapter 4, verse 1 says, masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal. If the reward was earned, if the reward is owed, it must be given. Because Christ earned the reward, which was all the people the Father gave to him. He said, if you ask of me, I'll give you the heathen for your inheritance. All the souls you gave to me, that's what the Lord kept saying. That was his reward. We get him, he gets us. And because he did earn the reward, that reward has to come to him. That's the only thing that's just and right. We'll be his forever. That is salvation. That right there is salvation. What Christ did, that is our salvation. And because of that, let me end with this, okay? Because of that, seeing what God's servant did, seeing how he was and who he was, because of that, let's all be good employees for his sake, just out of thankfulness to him, because it's well-pleasing to him. Let's be good servants, good employees, obedient servants. All right, you're dismissed.